Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, that's Ben, and today, it's not just Watch What Crappens, it's also...
Rob is a podcast, and I'm Rob Sestrino. I'm so thrilled to be back together.
Oh yes, my God, Rob. This is great.
Yes.
This is a thrill. I'm specifically excited, not just obviously as a fan of Traitors and Survivor, but also... Like, we go back about 20 years or so.
Yes, like, yes. Well, once a decade, I like to collaborate. So I'm so happy to be back together. And congrats on all your success.
You too.
Yeah.
I mean, what people may not realize is that back in the heady days of 2004, 2005, Ronnie and I were doing TVgasm, and you were doing the Fishbowl,
yes.
And we'd see each other at these like reality show event things in LA all the time, you know,
yeah.
And that was like a whole different world back then.
We made it. This is so great.
We survived also.
We're alive. We made it through.
True
we're
survivors.
Still working. Yeah.
Yeah. You made it all the way through that time into podcasts actually matter now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And you guys are so successful. And the only place where I have you beat is that there's only one of me. So I don't have to split the money like you two
yes.
have to.
Oh, we've both got murder plans, I'm sure. We're taking life insurance out on each other over here.
Dude.
Yeah, but this
also,
is great.
Let's not diminish your accomplishments. I mean, you have built an amazing empire over on your end. We sort of have our own areas of reality TV.
Yeah.
You know, like we're
but
over
the Traitors
Bravo.
Brings us together.
It actually does. It does. So for our listeners, Rob, you're covering Survivor. You do Big Brother 2. Do you do just all the CBS reality, basically?
I would say the competition reality show. So anything that's a game with their strategy, that's the stuff that we really... But Survivor is number one, and the Traitors has been so huge, and we do a lot of Big Brother coverage all season long. So really, anything that's a strategy game.
Yes.
Big Brother is a bear, too, to keep up with that. You know, we've had seasons where we've done Big Brother, and that is not an easy one to keep up with, especially when the season sucks or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which has been the case recently quite a bit.
This last one was good. I don't know how closely you followed it.
You know, we'll get onto that, but, like, I've heard that this last one was a really good season. But you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to do... First half of this episode, we're going to talk Traitors, and we're going to talk to Rob about both you having now been on it and also from as you as a commentator about these sort of games. And then the second half, we're going to do something that is I personally am really excited about. We're going to talk Survivor. So,
Ronnie, are you excited for Survivor?
Yeah. Listen, okay. I've watched tons of Survivor seasons. I used to do videos called Survivor in 2 minutes where I would make these comedy videos and just do the whole episode in 2 minutes. I used to be obsessed, but these shows just go on forever. I mean, that it's season 50. At some point, I just had to. I know a lot of the people on this one, though. I remember Coach, and I remember, and he's exactly the same, which is hilarious. He's got like a Bravo thing going on where he's coming on. He's like, oh, it's 2.0. It's like a different coach. Nah.
4.0.
I guess so. Yeah, I've seen a couple of his. So I'm pretty into Survivor. I just
nobody's
I take,
ever
I
like
take a decade off
this is
time.
Like a 3.1. This is like a little bit of an update from the last.
Yeah, exactly.
One.
Yeah, do like the incremental, like a 1.2.
This is
no
like
one has
the,
a patch. No
yeah,
one has
the
a
Rob
patch. They just have a new system
Pro Max.
Software.
I've changed my font. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with the Traitors, and of course, the question I have to ask.
Yeah.
Because I feel, and you probably answered it on your podcast. And if you're like with us, we are so consumed with Bravo that we never get to, you know, really listen to too many other pop culture podcasts.
Fine.
So apologies to your listeners who
that's
probably
okay
heard you
if you don't know everything I've ever said before.
Okay, but like the burning question for me is, how was the Traitors experience different than the Survivor experience for you?
So the Traitors experience is so bizarre because you go there and it's not necessarily like Survivor where it's like, hey, okay, I'm going to get my people and okay, I know I have the numbers and I'm in a group and I'm safe. Where on the Traitors, if you're a faithful, you're never really safe. And even if you have numbers that somebody in your numbers could be wanting to kill you or you said the wrong thing to the wrong person. And so there's so many different ways where you screwed up. And even if you didn't screw up, somebody thinks you might not screw up. and then they could just end you like that. So Survivor is an easier game to play, I think, than the Traitors, where the Traitors is just, there's so much randomness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, some of my friends, I'm a huge board gamer, and I play a lot of these social deduction games, et cetera. And a lot of my board game friends struggle with the Traitors because they feel like the faithful don't have any way to get any good real information. And so they're just sort of scrambling. And so for them, the strategy side of that is like really, really hard. And I can imagine that idea of like just going into this game and you think you're doing well, and then you're just, you are just like snuffed out in a second because you said the wrong thing to the wrong person and you had no idea. I mean, I personally love that as a viewer. I think it's like, it's
a great TV show. As a game, it's probably not as elegantly designed as Survivor, which is really just such a perfect game in terms of in its purest form. But the Traitors is meant to be a spectacle first. And there is a game that's being played more so by the Traitors, where the faithful, that if they can avoid the purge of just being picked off by the Traitors, that there are a lot of things that the faithful can do later on in the game, but they just don't have as much control over their fate as the Traitors do, or as a player might have on Survivor or Big Brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as the gameplay goes, you see how much it hurts you to have a kind of gamer brain, because you had it figured out pretty, I mean, right before you got kicked off or murdered.
Yeah.
You got banished, right?
I got murdered. So you got murdered. Yeah. I got murdered in plain sight, Ronnie.
Yes, that's right. You got murdered. You figured it out. You're like, and conga line, that, Candace, let's go. And then you were dead.
Yeah, and you were the only one that knew that a murder plain sight was probably happening. When Candace started up that conga line, it was, for us as viewers, it's like, this is the most random thing ever. And it did not strike anyone as strange. Did it strike you as strange that she was doing that?
Well, it did strike me as strange. I know that she has said that, you know, she, for whatever reason, that she wanted to do a conga line. I'm not sure why that was a thing, but she had been talking about it for like a day or so of like, we should do a conga line in the castle. Nobody's ever done that before. But I was already thinking, okay, there's a murder in plain sight is happening. And then once I was looking for anything that was weird or out of the ordinary, and then the conga line started, I'm like, wait, that is actually very weird that was happening right now. And so I hid from the conga line because I thought that was maybe the thing the Traitors were doing, of like, whoever is the first person in the conga line is going to be the murdered person, which was actually better than what actually was happening, where it was like, hey, actually know that somebody's going to just burn your card in the fireplace. But I was very concerned about that. And then I, maybe not so smartly, then was like, I got to warn people about this. The Traitors are trying to kill people. Candace, they're going to kill us tonight. And so I tried to warn Candace about the murder in plain sight. But I was already dead at that point. They already threw my card in the fireplace.
I was going to say, okay, well, that's interesting. Because I think the way it was presented was that you had said something. It looked like you had said something beforehand and the card had happened afterwards, but you were already burned.
Had already made the decision. So what they presented in the show, and again, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly if this was how it played out, but Rob and Lisa were making the decision of what to do. I was with Candace, and then they went and threw my card in the fireplace, and Candace didn't know who they ended up killing that night. And so she was sweating bullets that, oh, I hope they killed Rob C because he figured this stuff out. And then she was very relieved when it was me.
Oh, bummer. So a big article came out today after the reunion.
Yes.
On Vulture saying no more housewives on Traitors. And that is that is a big controversy every season on Traitors. When I'm reading the Reddit threads, people having a fit about the housewives. I mean, such a fit. I look at it and I think, you know, the gamers are pretty dramatic as well. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of drama queens with the gamers as well. I mean, Jam Jam, obviously. You're kind of a drama queen. Last night you told Jam, or this weekend, on the reunion, you told Jam Jam he was a pick me girl.
I didn't call him a girl. I didn't say he's a girl.
A pick me faithful.
Pick me faithful.
So I think you guys have your drama too. So I say unfair. Damn you, Vulture. Take it back.
Yeah.
And also just to clarify, but to add on to, here's a quote from the blurb that was, because none of us were willing to pay the paywall. Mm-hmm. It said,
well, podcasters, cheap ass podcasters.
No, I'm like, we'll just use what we need. Listen, this is what they put out there. Okay. So the author is Joe Reed.
Yeah.
And he says, after last week's lackluster reunion, which, by the way, they've all been lackluster. This is the fourth lackluster reunion in a row. Actually, the first season didn't even have one, I don't think. But after last week's last lackluster reunion, it became clear that the Housewives don't want to play the traitors. They want to play the Real Housewives of the Highlands and have arguments that spill out into social media, then meet up for a Housewives-style reunion, which I would argue is all reunions on reality TV, mm-hmm. with their patron, Andy Cohen. The contrast this season couldn't have been clearer. Rob Roush played a near-perfect game while Lisa and Candace made mistakes and then spent the better part of 2 months telling any Instagram follower or podcast host who would listen about how they were betrayed in a game that's literally a game, the name of the game. So what are your thoughts on this blazing hot take?
Yeah, I have gotten to see the fan bases battle a little bit, especially on Twitter, where that the strategy fans are saying, like, oh, the Housewives, they don't get it, and Lisa and Candace are being bitter, and then the Housewives fans being like, okay, the gamers are ruining things, and Rob shouldn't have done what he did. And first off, I think that you need both of these things for the traitors to work. And I do think that the reason why it's so successful is it is this Avengers of reality TV, where the Housewives bring in, they put a lot of the asses in the seats for this thing, because if you didn't have Housewives on the traitors, it would not be nearly as popular. And I think that it's no coincidence that the second season, when Phaedra was a traitor, that was the season that the show really became a juggernaut. So first off, you need the Housewives for the traitor. You can't do the traitors without the Housewives. I did think that some of the things that Lisa and specifically Candace were saying about the game that Rob played, that I don't think that Rob did anything that wasn't above board in the traitors.
I would agree with that. I thought that was super low of Candace to come on and accuse him of cheating blatantly. And it was so stupid. You know, for those of you who didn't see it, she was saying, well, I heard that you told Rob, or you told Colton, that I was a traitor. Well, dummy, even if he did, it wouldn't matter. It would only matter if he said, yeah, she's a traitor, and I know I that love because Candace. I'm a traitor. Mm-hmm. Well, I know,
thought that
I
was
know
a nothing
her, so.
Burger. She did not really have anything there. But I think that what I saw there at the reunion show, and I hadn't ever been to any of these reunions with the Housewives, was that you're being talking to them and they're all normal. And then they go into like reunion mode.
Yeah.
And so that they are like, they're working it. And so they're doing their thing. They know what the assignment is.
Yes.
If you thought it was lackluster with that, it would have been even more boring if they were just like, hey, you know, tip my cap. That guy was good.
It 100% would have been. And I think what Joe Reed seems to be missing from what I can tell here,
the boat.
I know Joe Reed is a nice guy.
Is Joe Reed a Housewives fan? Do you know, or does he watch the Housewives?
I think he's more of a strategy show fan.
So right, that's what comes through to me, which is that what Housewives fans, what we all love, is the excitement of these crackling personalities coming together.
Yes.
These sharp tongued women who've had to kind of get by with their sharp tongues and their wits and clashing. And I think it's actually, there's an interesting parallel with Survivor, where I feel like maybe earlier seasons of Survivor, people just focused so much on those who had brawn, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I think in later seasons, we have come to really appreciate those who can be a little sneakier and those who are really can use their wits. And like, what I like about having the Housewives on there is because we know what sort of personalities they have. We know that when they are, if they're put on the hotspot, they're going to defend themselves in interesting and entertaining ways. And it's exciting to see them being thrown in the mix. And so when he says, when Joe Reed says, oh, they just want to have arguments that spill out onto social media, they're not trying to have arguments that spill out on social media. That's just, they are just used to the fact that that's the area where they litigate things. And so to be like, oh, they just want to have arguments, I think it's actually so dismissive of a whole element of this game, because so much of this game, yes, it's about strategy, but it's not purely about strategy. In my opinion, all of these games, Traitors, any Mafia, all these games are about how you interact with people and your social game. And the Housewives, like, their strength is the social game, theoretically. And so I just feel like it's totally, it just totally dismisses a really valuable component of the game to just be like, oh, whatever, with the Housewives starting fights.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
The problems that may have happened with this season, if you have any issues, like, I don't think it has to do with that there were too many housewives on the cast. If anything, it was more of an issue of the faithfuls not being able to put things together and be able to crack what was going on towards the end of the season. And it really was an exciting end of the season. So I don't feel like that there was any issue with the housewives being so prominent in the season. I think that the show, and I was the biggest person to be a, it came at my expense, if anything, where I ended up being murdered early because there was payback from that the housewives had been taken out so early in previous seasons. They got power, and it was a lot of like, hey, let's take out the gamers in this season.
Mm-hmm.
But the show needed to do that.
It's like Sense of the Father.
The show needed to do that because that it was getting too much where, okay, well, we know the survivor is a traitor. We know a Big Brother person is a traitor. And so they showed this season they could do anything.
I would actually love.
When you were talking about the game, you know, not being as good as a game, a survivor, what improvements would you make to the format of the game? Like, have you thought, you thought about it.
I've thought about it a little bit. I think that they need to do more for the faithful to be able to protect themselves things like, I don't know, maybe if you get a traitor out, then the traitors don't get to murder, or there could be more ways that players could get shields and try to protect each other. I know it's sort of like a werewolf type game. Then maybe there could be like a doctor type character who is somebody who could protect one of the faithfuls. If they think they know who the traitors are going to murder, could they try to save a person? So I think that the faithful are often just sitting ducks. And so that the traitors are looking, okay, who are the people who are the smartest people? And then let's try to get rid of them and try to drag all of the people who are never going to figure it out to the end. And sometimes that could be not as exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think that have you ever played The Resistance or Resistance Avalon? It's kind of one of these games, you know? And a lot of a common thing in whether it's Resistance or Mafia or Werewolf or Blood on the Clock Tower, there's like someone who knows like for sure who one of the traitors is, essentially. But if they just are like, I know it's this person, then they are going to be at high risk of getting murdered. So they have to like sort of like show that they know the information, but they can't be too crazy about it. And it makes a really great tension. And like when the traitors premiered, after that first season, I was like, oh my goodness, this format is so ripe for so many interesting variations, because you can start adding in secret roles that these games all have. You can have a season where it's like, it is all Housewives in the Turrets, or it is all Survivor people, and you can mix and match. But like, I think, like, aside from adding roles and things like that, hidden roles where people have special powers, I think the number one thing they've got to do is they've got to tighten up their approach to the competitions, because they just don't carry any weight for the audience. And also, I think it's the thing we all care the least about. If there were an element where the traitors were actively in every single mission working to sabotage the ability to get shields, like if the mission fails or if this thing doesn't happen, then no one gets shields, then that means that the faithful could look at the behavior of people in those missions and use that as actual, you know, building blocks to building arguments and breadcrumbs towards things.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of people throw out the idea of like, well, the traitors should be trying to prevent them from getting money, like it's the mole, but to have them be able to prevent the players from getting shields is actually something that they would want. And it's also, oh, that this person blocked me, I think that person's a traitor. So it could lead to more interesting discussion at the round table. And because a lot of times the round table stuff where it gets ugly is sort of like, you seem like a traitor. You said something wrong, the wrong way. So maybe if they had like a little bit more to go off of, like that the discussion would be a little bit more substantive at the roundtable.
I don't know how much you're allowed to talk about of stuff that didn't really air, but there was a lot of controversy this season. Well, a couple things. First was the Donna Kelsey secret traitor thing and why she was so quiet. A lot of people online were speculating that she was, they just got her off early because she ratted herself out basically and told somebody she was a traitor. Is there any truth to that?
I mean, I hadn't heard that. I think that Donna Kelsey was probably not really thrilled to be a traitor. My read on it was that Donna was out of her comfort zone. She was a traitor. It was not a thing that I think that she necessarily wanted. It was sort of like randomly that we're going to make one person a traitor. I got the sense that she didn't necessarily want to be that person. And then she was doing it by herself. And I think that she was like overly cautious. I think she would have been better off if she was one of the normal traitors and like had like a support system. But I think that she was a little bit just not ready for having that role and having to be by herself and make those calls.
Yeah. Another one was this Dorinda versus Ron. Ron stuff, because Ron, once he came off the show, you know, we saw some of it where she was saying, you know, you don't ask us about our families and stuff, Ron. He's like, I don't give a fuck about your family. So we saw some of that stuff. But after, you know, he's been doing a lot of media and a lot of sets, you know, as a comedian, talking about the show and suggesting that there was a lot worse side of Dorinda that they kept editing out, and that Dorinda said a lot of really problematic stuff to him. And, you know, there's been a lot of stuff like that going online. Did you feel like there was a lot of stuff that was left on the editing floor with those two?
I mean, I wish I knew. I was home when all that stuff was happening.
From what you heard,
I definitely got that Ron feels that way in terms of how what he got from Dorinda. I don't think that he would make that up, but I also haven't heard from a lot of other people, oh my God, that Dorinda was horrible to Ron when we were there. So,
but you didn't see a lot of like Dorinda acting up that was being cut.
Dorinda from season 3 to season 4, and you guys are the Dorinda experts. I don't know if Dorinda seems like that she's totally just like chill and zen. And I mean, other than saying to Ron, you didn't ask anybody about their families, Dorinda was very quiet and was not at all like the person that we saw in season 3 come back from the mission and start yelling at everybody. And maybe it was an adjustment, but I don't know.
I think it was
different.
I think it was an adjustment. And that's why I was like sad that she got murdered, because I wanted her to be on the hot seat, because I felt like if she would have been on the hot seat, then we would have seen that Dorinda. And it was definitely an anticlimactic second run for us, because we were so upset that we only got like a sliver of her last season. And so when they brought her back, we're like, yes, now we're gonna see Dorinda, and she's gonna be, you know, she's gonna,
oh
like,
yeah,
like,
you want to see like, Dorinda, she's
gonna go like, off,
you better watch your ass, bitch. You know, you want to see actually, Dorinda going cray cray.
Yeah, but actually she was really like on the defense. Like, she had a few words with Mora. But it was really sad to see that. It was sad to see Portia go out early too. And I think Portia at the reunion, you really could imagine like, oh, she would have just been so fun to watch, you know, on this show, and seeing her deal with people. You know, that was like a gut punch to lose Portia.
Well, and so many of them that they got that were eliminated early were just good. I mean, poor Ian didn't get to do anything ever.
Yeah.
You
know? I know. Yeah, poor Ian.
What did you think about the Donna Kelsey twist, by the way, in general? Did you think that's a good twist?
So when I found out what it was, like, and how it all worked, I actually do think it could be something interesting, where I felt like it was a little bit of like a cat and mouse game between the secret traitor and the real traitors, where that the real traitors, like, I could imagine a world where they're getting pissed. Like, they're not giving us the people that we want to murder. Like, if the secret traitor was like really messing with these people and like giving them only like their friends, it's like, oh, I don't want to kill them. Like, mm-hmm. it could be something. I just thought that with, you know, when it wasn't really a fair fight to have Donna versus
yeah.
the three traitors, who I think in their own way were all like pretty capable when they were working together as a group. Like, they were pretty formidable, those three. And yes. then once the wheels came off, it fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it as a viewer personally. I enjoyed that, you know, we had no idea who it was. Because, you know, for the past few seasons, I love that we know who the traitors are. And you have this amazing tension. But sometimes you think, imagine, what would this game be like if I didn't know? So to have just like one was like, I thought, really fun. And I hope I would love to see them try it again and see if it sort of pops more the second time. But I enjoyed the guessing game just as a spectator.
Yeah, it was something that they tried, that to speak to your point, that they really were trying to give you that. Okay, so when you're at home, you don't know when they go stand in the circle of truth. Are they going to say they're a traitor or a faithful? Can you figure it out at home? But I don't think you really ever could have figured it out at home, because I feel like that they weren't giving you a ton of clues as to mm-hmm. what to be looking for.
Well, it's kind right. of the fundamental problem in the game for me, is that there's no real clues. You know, there's mm-hmm. no clues for anything. So it's just basically a guessing game to the end, unless people are super dramatically acting suspiciously.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of a carnival game.
But eventually, like for the faithful, if you can make it past like the initial couple of rounds, that you could say, okay, why did this person do this? How come when we brought this person's yeah. name up, why are they defending this person? And why then especially, yeah. And then it starts to snowball. Then once you get that first traitor, it's like, okay, why this person voted with this person? Okay, why did this person vote for this person? And so I do think that there's a lot of ways it can unravel for the traitors once you get a couple of rounds in, but it's always going to be a little unfair for those first couple of people who end up getting murdered just for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so if you had made it deeper into the game,
yeah.
two-part question. Do okay. you think you would have been able to suss out Rob? And second of all, do you think you would have been able to discern that Candace was leaving a breadcrumb? Because one of my pet peeves on the season was how she left the biggest breadcrumb from a lot of people's vantage point, and no one seemed to really, you know, yeah. do anything with it.
You know, listen, I was not on Rob's trail when I was there. He seemed like he was not even interested in being there. He was like in the fridge eating cookies, like getting drinks. Like, he was in the very beginning of the game not doing anything that I thought was suspicious. But as the game went along, you had those two big votes that Candace put, where Candace was like, oh, it's just random, and then she votes for him again. But also the fact that he has the dagger, and then he doesn't end up being murdered. And it's like, okay, well, nobody in that group was a traitor. So I think that that was also a big tell, that has that dagger for so many rounds that he never has to use. Where if you were a faithful, I think you'd want to burn that immediately just to get that monkey off your back, where it's not another reason for the traitors to kill you. And he never yep. really has a shield. So I think that also would have been pretty suspicious as you got towards the end of the game.
Yeah. Do you think that his looks helped
yes.
propel him to the win?
And I don't want to take that away from him, because that's part of the whole package. But he really had the women and he had the men all yeah. really just eating out of the palm of his hands. And he doesn't talk a lot. He comes off as somebody who doesn't seem like he's really scheming. He was good in the challenges. He's polite. So he did so many things right. But in that castle, the people were just swooning for Rob.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless him. Yeah, but you can't hate on someone for being cute. You know what I mean? So,
do you think if you were if you had been a traitor,
yeah,
how would you have handled yourself?
I didn't want to be a traitor, and maybe mistake on my part, but I thought that coming into the game, I really wanted to bond with people. And I felt like that if I was holding back this secret that I was a traitor, I thought that that would have come off as shady to people. And I knew that the survivors were going to have a big target on their back. And I really was worried that people were going to come in and look at me as, oh, he's a gamer. It's always one of the survivors and we're going to banish him right away. But I felt like that if I could come in and be myself and be a valuable person to the faithful, I thought that would help me. Turns out that I played in a season where there were no other game people that were in the turret. Nobody was keeping me safe. And so people all thought I was a faithful, but the traitors didn't want to keep me around.
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of like ready for a time when we can like not have this like Housewives versus Game of War. Like I'm just sort of like sick of it because I like I'm fans of people from both sides and watching them like take each other out and then you get stuck with Mark Ballas at the end. It's like really annoying.
Yeah. And I Mark's a really nice guy also. But I wanted to work with the Housewives that, you know, we had, I thought, mutually aligned interests where there was five people from the games and five people from the Housewives shows. And you had Michael Rapaport there. And Michael Rapaport was like, okay, okay, let me, I'm a math guy. Okay. So there's five fucking Housewives. Okay. That's a traitor. Okay. Five, there's five, one, two, three, four, five, five fucking gamers. Okay. That's a fucking traitor right there. And I was like, I said to Porsche, I'm like, hey, do we have a Michael Rapaport problem? Like, I think that we need to like try to work together. They have numbers. We have numbers. It should be the Housewives and the gamers versus everybody else. Like, exactly. Why that's, not try to work together?
Great, that is a great point. Because if you could just make it halfway through the game, you could do a Survivor style. Just make it halfway through as a team and then turn on each other. You know?
Yeah. Or just try to keep each other safe for a little while.
Yeah, I would love to see an all-Survivor season or an all-Gamer season and an all-Housewives season. Mm-hmm. I think that would be nice because the Housewives could be actually be Housewives. Because, you know, as people saying, oh, they're trying to make it so dramatic, they are so tame on this show compared to how they usually are.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and you can see it in the reunion because Candace comes out a little more as Candace. And Portia had the whole reunion. I mean, the whole reunion was Portia, and she was on there like two episodes. So, you know, they could really take over the show. And if they were really ready to let their freak flags fly. And then on the opposite end, I think the gamers would be able to be a little more vocal and not shy back from being as scary to the rest of the cast because they're big gamers, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I think that the gamers that play next time, I think are going to be playing very scared from the start because now I feel like there's such a reputation and it's such a thing of we have to take out the gamers. I wonder how much also Dorinda coming into last season and then going off on Bob the Drag Queen, if the Housewives came in this season a little bit, hey, I'm not going to like create as much chaos or drama. I'm just here to get along with everybody because they really weren't having a lot of conflict in the actual time in Scotland.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, but the Bob the Drag Queen thing, Dorinda didn't really go off on Bob or any of that. Bob came for Dorinda right away. So Dorinda didn't go off on Bob until the reunion. That's when she came in like, oh, how could you, Bob? I was so nice to you, Bob.
Wasn't she mad that they ate dinner without her?
Yeah. Yeah. She, because they were she was stuck on that pontoon.
They
because
say that
Bob was like, so
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay, so she was just, I love that, but it is such a bummer though that she came back and was so clearly it was like, oh, I can't go off on people, et cetera. I mean, and what's interesting about, I think especially the traitors, maybe even more so than Survivor or Big Brother, you do like develop a meta across seasons. And so people are often reacting to what happened in the last season. Like, oh, well, the gamers, we seem too scary. So we have to come in and kind of chill this season, you know, and everyone has to sort of react to what happened last season, which is why, like, you know, I don't want to kill the golden goose, but that's why I kind of want to have more and more seasons of it. Like, it's hard to wait for once a year because the seasons are actually really affected by each other. So it creates an ongoing kind of like conversation between them. But I think it's like, it's such a malleable format. You really, like Ronnie said, you can do a season of all Housewives. It would be great. And you can have a season of the exact same players, bring the entire cast back and it'll play out in a whole different way. That'll be really fascinating. It's such a, to me, it's such a good format. And that's why I just got so mad at that article being like, you know, it doesn't need the housewives. It's like,
no, you need everything.
You need everything. And like, yes, Candace and Lisa were being salty, but thank God they're being salty. How entertaining is it to watch that reunion and watch them be salty? You know, of course, Rob played a great game. They know Rob played a great game, but also they also, you know, let them go and attack him too. Like he deserves that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least they were upset with Robbie that I kind of thought like I was going to go there. And Maura was like, okay, oh wow. She's going to really give Rob a piece of her mind. And she was like, oh, well, he's going to buy me a purse. So
she was waiting for that Birkin. I saw pictures going around today of her with the Birkin.
Oh,
showing off her new Birkin. So she got it. Like,
I'm so dumb. Yes.
I'm so dumb the whole time.
I'm so dumb.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Do you guys want to move on to some Survivor?
Survivor. Sure.
Let's do it. Season 50. Like,
so
Survivor, wow. Like you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
3 hours, you guys. No one told me that part. When you were like, hey, let's talk Survivor 2, I was like, I'm down. I haven't watched that in forever. I turned that on. I was like, 3 hours?
Yeah. You had to catch up.
It was a good 3 hours.
You missed so much that you were overdue.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. It was a lot. I have to say, since the switch to Survivor going to 90 minutes, I have a harder time watching it. I've watched every single season of Survivor. I'm never going to abandon it. But what will happen is sometimes I'll like miss an episode, and like you miss one or two episodes and then you're like in a hole. You're like, oh man, I've got 3 hours to watch. It's just sort of hard to, and I feel like so many of the quote unquote new era episodes are people going off to another island to climb mountains, to get a journey. I honestly don't want to piss off your audience if this is not the way people are feeling. I can't stand the journey.
No, like, I think that you are in like on the right side of history. I think that so, Ronnie, since Survivor came back after COVID, it's been the new era of Survivor. And so it used to be 39 days and that was the whole thing. And now they made it 26 days. So it's less days and they do a lot of different things just to keep it like more random and fast paced because it's a shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the journey part, they seem to have calmed down on that a bit, at least for this season. Yeah. I guess maybe because we know everybody, but there were a couple where I was trying to watch where I was like, what is this? They're like, well, I lost a lollipop when I was a kid in the mall and then my desk book got stuck in the escalator and he hasn't been able to walk, so I deserve the rice. I'm like, what is this? This is like you're supposed to be surviving, not crying about every little thing in life. You know,
A lot of backstory.
It's a very touchy feel. I mean, look, I love Jeff Probst. You know, he is one of the all-time great reality show hosts of, you know, he's just so good. But sometimes I feel like when I watch Survivor, you know, since his talk show was canceled, he's like, well, the talk show's canceled, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to like, here's a talk show segment. And you're sitting there and he's like, what does it feel like? You're here. You're feeling the sand. Have you ever felt sand before? Blue scarf. Have you touched sand before? It's like, yes, I have touched sand. And what does this sand feel like? I'm like, oh my God, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, that's been another big change of Survivor as it's gotten towards the new era, is that it really is much more about trying to tell a journey of self-discovery for all of the players. So it used to be back in the old school Survivor, it's like one person's going to win and what are they willing to do to win? And everybody else is going to lose, but one person's going to get $1 million. Now Survivor, and Jeff will say this, is much more about what did every single person get out of this journey and this experience? Mm-hmm. What did they learn about themselves on Survivor? And we're really telling that story in the backdrop of, one person's going to go home every week.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
it's more sensitive. I mean, it's like every reality show has done that in the past decade where it's like, okay, guys, let's embrace like what makes us cry, you know?
But it's not really what the fans want.
Well, I don't know because they keep watching it. So I don't know. And people even talk like that in real life, you know? It's like, how are you? It's like, well, I mean, triggered and traumatized. You want to hear about my week? You know, it's like, oh, geez, you know?
For me, I don't mind if there's scenes of someone who's like dealing with something, dealing with the death in their family. What I don't like is sometimes like the like a challenge will end and someone has like came in dead last, but they like managed to somehow like push a ball up a ramp after many tries, and then we sit there for 5 minutes while Jeff has like a therapy session with them. Like, yeah. What did that ball mean for you? I'm like, it lost. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not the moment where I need to have the, like a journey. What do you think? What do you think? Okay, so who are you rooting for anyone in this cast? Right, like off the, who are your favorites? Who are your favorites that you want to win, and who are your favorites that you think will win?
Okay, so I'm excited to see all of the legends come back. In terms of the cast of what they ended up doing, I felt like they brought back too many people from the new era where there's 12 people that played from seasons 1 through 40, and they brought back 12 people who played from seasons 41 through 49. So it really is very lopsided in terms of the newer players that they brought back from the last couple of years. So in terms of the legends being there, you're very excited to see a lot of the, you know, four timers, five timers, Sari, Ozzy, Coach are all the mainstays, and Colby ends up coming back. Then also I really like Christian Hubicki, who is back for this season. From the new era, I really like Q. Q, I think, is just somebody who is an all-time casting person. And he's been so fun to have him come back.
His meltdown on his season was so epic. He was doing so well. He was such a star. And like he really was like, he had his whole tribe. I was like, this guy's going to the end. And then all of a sudden a flip switched and his meltdown was so wild. I agree. He is like one of the great casting choices. I don't understand. I don't have like a strong memory of Tiffany.
Yeah.
Didn't she leave like relatively early in the,
she
in
came
run?
In eighth in her first season. She played with Q.
Right. Oh, that's right. She played with Q.
Yeah. And sometimes when they do the returning seasons of Survivor, they like to bring people back in pairs where it's like, oh, they fought the first time, so we'll bring them back and they'll fight again.
Mm. Yeah, I would have liked some, you know what? It would have been great to have some representation of those sort of like middle seasons. You know, like you have like a Colby, which is great. Although, you know what I did not like about Colby? I did not like when, what's his face?
Rizgod?
Fashion show. What'd you say?
Rizgod?
Oh God, I can't stand Rizgod. I cannot. Please tell me he's not a real fan favorite, because they keep on saying he's a fan favorite, and I'm like,
Everybody's a fan favorite. I mean, he did a nice job. Ronnie, they have a guy named Rizgod now.
Okay. What's he do?
He's
like young and...
Yeah, he found a lot of idol, or he had an idol and he didn't play it for a long time.
Oh, he drives me nuts. And he's like, I'm sure he's like a sweet kid, but like,
nice guy.
Good God.
Yeah.
Good God. But what? I don't remember who I was even talking about, but
in
whatever.
The fashion show? Say,
fashion show. The guy who got, why am I blanking on his
name?
He got medevaced out. Kyle. Yes. Kyle put like a Survivor buff around his chest, like a halter or a crop top or something, or a tube top. And Colby was like, oh man, I don't need to see that. I was like, wait a second. I was like, I'm clocking that, Colby.
Yeah, well, remember when he was on the tribe with Richard Hatch in Survivor All-Stars?
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember that. I mean, I watched them all, but they all sort of like blur together.
Blur together,
Yes. But was he...
Richard Hatch, always blurred.
Always
blurred. Mm-hmm. Yes. The original, I mean, they actually improved blur technology for Richard Hatch. I think it actually got tracking on it, because you had to with that guy. Jeez, man. Keep on your clothes. Keep it inside. You were talking about this. Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
No, you go. I'm just babbling.
I was just going to say, I loved kind of the juxtaposition of the annoying people in this episode being the oldest and the newest. At least for me, because the one from season one was instantly annoying. Yes. And I just loved it. It's just bossy. I wouldn't say annoying. Probably just came in there like, oh, really? You're going to see it from season one, missus. And everyone, you know, tried to get Sari out and tried to control everything, and then immediately got sent packing. Loved that. And I can't wait to see it kind of happen to Savannah, because I feel like Savannah has got that energy, but on the opposite end of the spectrum, where she's a newer one. She's like, oh my God, I'm new and they don't even know anything about me. And she's kind of coming in to control the whole thing too. So I'm guess liking well it. It's set up to be pretty interesting.
Guess how well I did, guys. Guess how well I did. I won it all.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, yeah, I'm so up and down with her. Like, in some ways, I love her bratty energy. And so, Ronnie, her backstory is that she's a news reporter and she used to work at a newsroom. And they all hated her so much that for 2 years, no one would talk
to
her. They
bullied her, Ben.
They bullied her. She was like, I was bullied in the newsroom. And we would talk on camera. And when the cameras were down, no one would talk to me. And she was so stressed out. And like, that's her whole journey, was that she was bullied in the newsroom.
That she's annoying.
Which is not nothing.
My journey
nothing,
is that I annoyed everybody at work. I love that.
Yeah, that was
my share of similar journey.
She replaced a beloved member of the team and they froze her out.
Yes. That was truly her emotional arc.
Who do you think is missing from this? Because I would imagine that there are a lot of hard feelings going around. I read Suri, you know, kind of dissing Carolyn.
Hello, Rob is right here, Ronnie. Rob is right here.
No, I know. Well, obviously,
obviously,
that's an answer,
all of the shows are missing.
Yeah. So, who do you think really got shafted on not getting invited?
Well, Carolyn was somebody who was like one of the lockiest locks to come back, and then she went and did the Traitors, and then they seemed to really take exception to the fact that she did the Traitors, even though Suri did the Traitors, Stephanie did the Traitors, but it seems like that they didn't like that Carolyn did the Traitors and didn't talk to them first about going back and doing that. And then Amanda Kimmel was somebody who was supposed to be in the mix and then ultimately didn't end up coming back. Jerry Manthe really wanted to come back, and she was gutted when she didn't ultimately get the call. But to speak to your point, Ben, about not having anybody from the middle, I would have loved to have seen Malcolm come back, where I feel like that he was somebody who had unfinished business from the last time that he played.
Yeah, I mean, wow. You know who I would have loved to have come back? Mainly because I, at the very least, I could have just looked at him, would have been James. Why? I was shocked that James was not in the mix.
Yeah.
Where is James these days? I feel like we never see anything.
We never see him. I think he came out at the season 36 finale where they brought back some of the idols that got misplayed. And so they brought him back at the reunion for Survivor 36 with Eric Reichenbach. But that's the last time he's been seen on Survivor.
You know who I think would have been great? I feel like we don't talk enough about Fabio. Like, Fabio is just one of the most random winners of this show. And he's such a bizarre creature. Like, he should have just been in there. That would have been hilarious to me.
So they started and they said, okay, we have no winners. We're not bringing back any winners. And they didn't bring back any of the older winners. But then from the new seasons, they brought back three winners. So I don't know why they changed that very late in the game, because that's why they were like, okay, that's why Boston Rob's not here, or Parvati or Tony or Sandra. We just did an all winners season, so we're not bringing any of those people back. But then, like, right at the end, they're like, we'll bring back some of the winners.
Yeah.
The people that just won, they'll bring them back.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Dee and Kyle and the who's fresh the third million. Person?
Savannah.
Oh, Savannah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Also, you know, from the new era, as long as they're plucking from the new era, there was also that, I'm sorry, I'm really bad with the names. Like, I definitely, when a Survivor season or a Big Brother season ends,
it gets
like, tucked away in a zip file, and I have to, like,
well, you're with a wiki, so just ask.
Yeah. But the season when there was, like, the pastor... She was a pastor, but she was so sleepy.
Oh, Shan.
Shan. Yeah. She would have been a great choice.
She would have been really good. She was a villain in that season. And the whole season, she was like really like propped up as like the main character. But I don't know if whatever happened, if there was like any falling out or whatever reason they didn't bring her back.
I mean, how many times have they brought back Susan, the trucker from season one? She was
so she only came back one time for Survivor All Stars, but she is, of course, an icon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bring me some Susan.
Isn't it crazy
Susan
to
tell
think,
some people off?
Isn't it crazy to think there's been 700 and something people
51.
On the show? 751.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a wild number of people to go through it all. I would love to have a season of all first people voted off. Because there's some really amazing, they're cast for a reason. They're interesting people. Let's get them all on there and like give someone a chance to go from having been voted off first to getting all the way to the end.
You could do it. I mean, there's some story there in the people that, I mean, obviously you like them enough to have them on the show once. So you could do a season about it. I think that it would be good to do, they always do three tribes. do one tribe of first boots, because I'm not sure if you have 18 great first boots that people would remember. But if you definitely have six.
Okay.
Yeah, you can scrounge up six, huh?
Yeah.
So because you guys are more familiar with all of these people, who came back that is changed at all? Who's the most changed? Did anybody actually come back as a different version of themselves?
Well, Ozzy is trying to be a different version. He's going to be Oscar now instead of just regular Ozzy. So that's
like, I'm shaving Ozzy. My sideburns really high now, guys.
Yes, Ozzy 5.0.
Crazy. Yeah. He looks crazy now. I'm sorry. He's got actually. He has inherited the hair of a former Survivor contestant whose name eludes me, but you know who I'm talking about.
Jambo.
Yeah, he has Jambo's hair now. Like that hair. I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay, so Ozzy, that's a good one. Yeah. So who else? Well,
Colby, the last time he played was like cranky and joyless, and now he is this new person that's like, I'm going to appreciate every day that I'm out here, because every morning I thank God for two things. Number one, that I'm alive. And number two, that I'm on Survivor.
And number three, men don't wear tube tops.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
As long as I don't see any guys wearing a tube top, halter top bikini. That's a bridge too far.
He was cracking me up because you can tell he's trying to be positive, but he just can't do it. He's like, this kid won't shut
up. He's annoying.
This kid needs to go. How are we going to get rid of him? And then a few hours later in the premiere, he's like,
I'm your dad now.
Yeah, I'm your dad. And he's like, oh my God, thank you so much, because I love my dad so much. It's like, okay, I regret that one. That's so Rizzo.
This means so much.
Angelina's trying to change. Yeah. So Ronnie, the Angelina season, Angelina was hilarious because she just lacked any self-awareness. And they showed a clip of it, Ronnie, but like this, she basically was part of this woman getting voted off, who then had a cameo in The White Lotus, I'd like to add. And then as this woman's getting voted off, Angelina's like, it's really cold. Can I have your jacket before you leave? Can I have your jacket? Your jacket? It's like, fuck you. Like, how dare you ask me this right now?
Yeah.
But she's trying to be like now, like, I'm aware. I'm a mother now. I understand things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of people who's changed, Mike White is changed, that he is ripped now.
I know.
That was crazy. I was not expecting that at all. Yeah, I watched his season. I was shocked.
Yeah. He was, he's ripped now. I feel like he's going to last a long time because I think everyone wants to get a part in the next White Lotus, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a meta there where it's like, well, I don't want to be mean to Mike. I want him to get to know me long enough so that way he wants to put me in that show.
Well, he always puts somebody from Survivor in the seasons.
Yeah. I remember the first season. I was like, wait, isn't that guy look so familiar? Wait a second. I think he was on Survivor.
And yeah. Like, Alec and Merlino.
Yes. Alec. Have you had Mike White on your show?
So there was one time, and it was one of the more famous moments in the history of Robin's podcast, because Mike White reamed me out.
For what?
Oh, no. Why?
Why?
Because I was an asshole. I have to take ownership
of it.
We'll
be the judge of that.
So back in you know, Mike White famously many, many great films, School of Rock and many others. But in 2017, the movie, the Emoji Movie, came out, and we we were goofing on the Emoji Movie at that time. And Mike White had done like some rewrites on the Emoji Movie. And then when his original season was on, I on occasion would ask guests like, hey, what do you think of Mike White's movies? And I was like, hey, what do you think of the Emoji Movie? And that he, when I got to talk to him, and also he felt like I didn't give him enough credit for his game, which is also fair. He played a really good game and I didn't highlight it enough. But he also didn't get featured, you know, his game wasn't like really obvious in the edit. And so he really like laid into me and that said that he... you know, it's a hilarious interview, but nobody on the exit interview has really come in hot like that.
Wow. Well, listen,
the Emoji
I'm
movie.
Sure
now he can kick my ass too.
Listen,
just with his abs.
Yeah.
Now he can. And you know what? Look, he wrote a movie. Look, he has He wrote a movie that has 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
My kids love it.
You know what? I think actually my friend was also a writer on it. Now that I'm saying it. Oh gosh.
I'm really rooting for these two ladies just to watch their relationship because it was cracking me up. Aubrey and Genevieve. Both of them are just staring at each other. Wasn't it? It was Aubrey and someone else. I think it was Genevieve, wasn't it? Kind of staring at each other, and they're like, yeah, well, like, I could trust you. Okay, well, I could trust you. And then it cuts, like, I don't trust that bitch. I'm going to take her down. I really like that.
That was like Housewives. Yeah, it was.
And Aubrey's got such a dark energy about her. I only know her from this episode, but I loved her darkness. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be an Aubrey acolyte for now.
Aubrey is great. But I love Genevieve. I love a cold, smart woman. And she just like the way she just like maneuvered through her season. She was just so great. She was like cold and corporate. And I just loved her. I'm worried that she's not going to make it that far this season because people are like, you know, they have their eyes out
scared
on her,
of her.
Or, you know, they're scared of her. But I just think that she's great. I was so happy that she was included in this.
Well, Ronnie, one of the other things that people do a lot now on Survivor is if you're a lawyer, you have to pretend you're something else. And one of the secret lawyers, and now they really know she's a lawyer.
can't have a lawyer. Well, I just like that. I think it should get her some points that she's being played by Toni Collette. I mean, I would think that people would like automatically be like, oh my God, I love you, Muriel.
Yeah.
What do you think? I know, seriously. What do you think about this twist of in the hands of the people?
I think it was a good idea, but I think that they didn't really give the fans that much to actually vote on. Like, it was very specific things, and a lot of the options were worded in a way that it was clear what they wanted the outcome to be. And they didn't really let the fans vote on too many things that people really cared about. Like, should there be two tribes or three tribes? Should there be a final two or a final three? And like I wish there was more things that we were actually voting on that people cared about.
Yeah, it feels kind of like superficial. And also it's like, will there be no idols or tons of idols? And of course, the fans are always going to choose the hard option. They're going to choose the idols and everything like that, which is fine. But I agree. I feel like it's not very impactful. And what I hate is that Jeff is like, but this season, I'm not doing anything because it's in the hands of the fans. So the fans have voted and they've decided they want you to win an Outback steak because you know that's coming. It's like, you're going to go to the sanctuary. Are they going to win a steak from Outback or a pizza from Domino's? It's like, which corporate branding will the fans vote for?
Yeah.
You know, it just feels a little overwrought.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if the fans got to vote on any of the competitions?
They got to vote on what the final four competition was going to be.
Because I have to say, I'm getting some competition ennui. I feel like it's sort of getting into we're going up a ramp.
What's the emoji for ennui? They were
I don't want to get blacklisted by Mike White. Okay.
It's just abs.
Just abs. But I do kind of feel like it's a grab something, go under some beams into the mud, go up a ramp.
They are impressive though, like how they had to go under those logs and then dig a hole under and on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like them because you have to think like, how would I dig it? You know, I would never dig it. I would die. I would just die. But
I'd give up.
Just but watching like one be... of them just reached over and was like doing this, like kind of swimming through it, which I thought was kind of cool. But yeah, there's only so many, you know, ramps and pulley things you can do.
Yeah. For whatever reason, there's less variety in terms of the types of challenges that they would do. Like for a long time on Survivor, they'd be like, okay, and now there's wrestling and now there's, one-on-one competitions and really everything in the pre-merge is some type of a race, and then everything in the post-merge is like, okay, get ready and stand still for as long as possible.
The endurance challenges, this is just a Ben thing. I hate endurance challenges on reality TV. They stress me out, but also it is just standing around. But largely I just get stressed out when it comes time for Big Brother to have them stand on a wall and like lean over. I'm always like, oh,
the holding on to things. The Big Brother classic.
See, that's
like,
a hot
take. Hold on to a phallic object. Yes. You know, it's like a flinging hot dog or whatever.
I want more. You know, I would love to see. I don't mind, obviously, if we have a mix of all these things, but post-merge, there are so many endurance challenges that they just sort of become all the same to me. And I just like a mix. Like, I love the auction when it comes up, the food auction. And they once had a challenge that I absolutely adored, which is that they had to like all get onto this platform in the water, and there was like not enough room for everyone. And so like if one wrong movement, everyone would fall off the platform. And so you never really knew which group of people was really, which team was going to win. And I liked that as a nice change up. But like the obstacle course thing, I'm just sort of getting a little over it. I'm like, I feel like there's so many interesting puzzles out there and interesting ways to have competition that I would love to sort of see some more variety.
For sure. That they're really.
So Rob, can you fix that for us, please?
Listen.
Rob, design one right now. We're going to
complain about the same things every single season. That's one of the things with the new era where that in the old days of Survivor, there used to be a lot more novelty and variety of like, okay, this season we're doing this, this season we're doing this. And I know that they're stuck in Fiji for, you know, a variety of budgetary reasons, but it's almost like at this point in Survivor's history, they're like, we figured out what the show is. Every season we're going to do it's this. Like, well, can you change it? Like, no, this is how we do it now.
Dictionary. Can we do dictionary? I mean,
it's like, well, what about, could you have what if you have like this versus this? Like, no, every season is the next number. That's it. We decided this is the show now.
And now the challenges, not only are they not really changing the challenges as much, now some of the challenges have built in their own kind of mythology. Like in this season, Kelly, yeah. so-and-so went and she did this in 35 seconds. Can you beat that record? So now there's like lore behind the challenges, which is kind of funny. I don't mind that. I actually like that the show is not afraid to break that fourth wall. But yeah. I'm like, let's just like mix up. I feel like there was a new challenge like last season. They like sprung a new challenge on us. We're like, whoa, a new challenge.
Yeah, it's exciting if they have a new challenge. And it's fine, but that they also like, but they make the challenges easier also, or I should say they make them like harder so that they last like 8 minutes, as opposed to that there used to be on Survivor, you'd have these endurance challenges and they go for hours and hours and hours and like, that's boring. Just make it so hard that the challenge only lasts for 5 minutes. We got stuff to do. Like, we're not going to sit around here all day and watch for five hours.
Like, well, we're going to have an endurance competition. So let's see who can endure getting hit over the head multiple times with a cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
Okay. One of you. Okay, great. Everyone else is knocked out on the ground. We are done. Let's wrap. All right, Rob, do you think this season's going to go? Let's do some predictions for the final. What do you want to do? Final three?
Sure. Final three. Okay.
Okay, let's say final three. Rob, you go first.
Go first. Wow.
So I can copy all of your choices.
Copy all of my choices. So I'm trying to think of, I'll say Joe. And let's say Joe, Tiffany is my winner pick, even though Ronnie doesn't know who she is. And then
I don't have to know things. If we could only talk about things I know, we'd have a very, very short show. So don't worry about
that. And Jonathan.
Okay. Mm. And Tiffany for the win. Okay, gotcha. Ben, go for it.
It's hard to say because I'm like trying to think of who seem like they might be getting a winner's edit. But like to the credit of Survivor, I think the thing that is so amazing about the show is they've become so sophisticated with their edits that I don't think people, it's hard to determine the winner's edit versus the difference of like who is getting the act one of the season edit. I also, for some reason, Tiffany was on my radar as well. But like, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say in the top three, I'm going to put Emily Flippin.
Ooh.
Even though she's totally bonkers, but I just, for some reason, I see her kind of like bonking up to the top three.
I like her.
Yeah, she's great. I love her.
She's a real, is she the one that's like, nobody really wanted to talk to me the first time, but now things are different. Is that her?
Yes. I love her. Her first season, uncanny. She just,
Thank you. I really vibed with her energy.
Her first season, she just
got so happy when that guy started talking to her. She's like, yeah, at least someone's talking to me.
You would have loved her first season. She constantly had these like emotional breakdowns because no one liked her. And then she had these because of her emotional breakdowns, people just continued to not like her. I'm going to say Mike White because everyone wants to be on White Lotus.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay.
And this is hard. Where does it? A third one. Let's say Chrissy Hofbeck.
Ooh, okay.
Chrissy.
Mike, Chrissy, and who was the third?
Emily. Mike, Chrissy, Emily. And Emily.
Emily, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with people that I want to see because you never know on these games, especially in the beginning. So I'm going to say Aubrey, Ceri,
yeah,
and the guy who does the news just because
Rick Devins.
He cracks me up. He's like, and then he gets really serious. But he's always got that dad. He's always got that dad like, I'm just so glad to be here. Let's murder that motherfucker. You know, it's kind of an edge to him. Like, I believe maybe he's killed somebody. And so he's kind of my dark horse. And I'll say Ceri only because I think it would be so difficult. I think it would be an uphill battle, but I don't know. I believe in her, so I'm going to say her.
Yeah, I can't tell. Does she have a massive target on her back, or do people, is there ever a sense of like, man, she is so good, I don't want to be the one to destroy her journey this time?
Well, that's what Jenna Lewis tried to do, that she needed to take her out. But I think that there's a little bit of like the same sort of thing with Donna Kelsey, where people are like, oh, do we want to get the fans mad at us and take her out? People love Ceri.
Yeah.
I was sad to see Jenna go, only because I was like, man, it's been 26 years. She comes onto the beach for like one day and then she's gone. Like, right away. I was like, that was so mean of everyone. I'm sorry.
Just
and
they played
like,
too was, hard, though. She came right on. Know, like, all right, Ceri, we're getting her. We're getting her. She fucked up the competition. I'm like, well, you're all going to fuck up a competition. You had to throw a stone on a rope through a little V. You know, who can do that?
No.
None of y'all
well, actually,
do that.
I've got one last question. I know we're sort of trying to wrap up, and we, for all intents and purposes, we should be wrapping up, but I'm opening it back up again.
We're trying
I
to
apologize.
Wrap
up. I'm being a bad podcaster. But Rob, you did come back on an All-Star season, and in the season that you were on, you were like, I mean, you got extremely far. You were just like doing all sorts of amazing stuff on it. But then in the All-Star season, you did not last very long.
Yeah, that's right.
So what was like coming into an All-Star season like this in season 50, what's different? What's different when you come in there? You know, and that these players should hopefully have been paying attention to.
Yeah, and it's a great question. The time that I came back, I played on Survivor All-Stars, which was season 8, but nobody had ever been on an All-Star season of a show before. You didn't really know what it was going to be like. Now everybody is like these grizzled veterans that have been back. Oh, this is my fifth time playing. So people are like, I'm coming in with my game plan, but it's like, hey, this person's my friend. I can't vote them out. And that's why Boston Rob did so well. He was the only person that was willing to be like, hey, I don't care. I'm gonna screw up everybody I've ever met and find my wife. So it was complicated, the feelings about like, wait, are we friends or is this a game? Whereas everybody's like very clear what this is.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, well, everyone's Rob, coming in ready to rip each other on this one. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're ready.
Maybe we should circle back midway through the season and see how all our predictions are going
love
and
to.
Our hot takes are, you know, because it's so fun to talk with you. And it is really cool. It is cool, the shared experience. Like, the three of us were in the midst of the reality TV.
We've seen it all.
20 years. We've seen it all,
We've
guys.
We've been there.
We've been there.
We've been there since the old days, Rob.
We remember the Fox
Reality Channel.
So
great to talk to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This was really, really fun. Yeah. And really we're not washed. Okay. Let's let the record show.
Mm-mm, we're not washed.
We're not cooked.
No. No. We are.
We still got it.
We still got it.
We're still bringing heat.
We're old times. Remember back in the day, Johnny Fair. Fair
remember
play.
That when Johnny Fairplay got slammed by Danny Bonaducci?
Sure do.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure do.
Oh, the class.
Were you there that night?
I was there when Perez Hilton got punched. Were you at that one?
No, who
that
punched Perez one. Hilton?
I think
Will
one of the
Ian's
real world
manager
guys.
Or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, he probably should have gotten punched a lot more. He was like drawing like wieners on all these people's faces.
Yeah. Like, he got punched at that award show. And I was hanging out with Johnny Bananas that night, who I loved back in that time.
Yes.
And he was wasted, of course, but we were just cracking up. And he was just kind of he came out just looking like tweet, 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 like literal birds around his head. And people were booing him on the way out. I was kind of proud of our culture that night.
Yeah, I remember going to one of those Fox Reality Awards and China the Wrestler was right next to me. And then New York was there and Jeff Conway came on stage because he was doing a lot of the VH1 stuff. And then there was it was a time to be alive.
It was a time.
It was a time.
It was a time. Yeah. It was a special time.
All right. Well, everybody find Rob Has a Podcast wherever you get your podcast. What's your personal Insta?
Rob Cisternino.
Oh, there you go. Right. I keep it simple too. Mine's Ronnie Karam and Ben Mandelker. You see, we all did it right, guys. Keep it simple.
Did it right. Yes. Because back when we started, it wasn't hard to get your real name.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, when we blogged, we had fake names because we were like, we're serious artists and we don't want to be known as TV bloggers. And then we got thirsty a couple years into
it. I wanted to be a TV writer and I was afraid that if I was blogging that it would get in the way of me having gainful employment as a television writer. So I was like, I've got to have an alias.
Mm-hmm. Has that been proven wrong for any of us?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. And the writing never really happened.
Never happened.
No, I'm playing.
Yeah. But look at us now.
But yeah, who needs it?
Yeah. Maybe Mike White could read a script of yours.
I know. Now that I've shaded the emoji movie out of solidarity with you.
You know, I did. That was
my writing career.
Leave Ben alone. Put him on the White Lotus.
Mike White was like, you know what, this guy's pretty funny on that podcast. I should put him in the White Lotus. Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
He backed up Rob Cesternino.
He's got a Google alert set up.
Yes, he platformed Rob Cesternino, so he's out.
Yeah.
He's done.
All right, Rob. Thanks so much. Everybody, thanks for being here. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's
Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.